So, okay. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Okay, so when I was first told I was going to be up here, I obviously panicked. I was like, oh gosh, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? But then I was like, oh, after 20 minutes, I was like, we're talking about what Jesus said this year. So I figured we would talk about a question that Jesus asked. First, I was like, I'm going to do like 5 questions. But then I was like planning this one. I was like, okay, this is it. But first, what's the point of a question? To get truth and answers, right? But if Jesus asked questions, who is the truth and has all the answers, why would he ask questions? In fact, I Googled this, and he asked 307 questions versus 183 answers. And I was like, why would he do that? Well, one, he wanted to shape our faith with having questions. Number two, he was after engagement and not just rhetoric. He was interested in relationships and not just religion. He didn't like spoon-feeding us. He wanted us to think for ourselves and get to the truth by our own selves. Not by ourselves, exactly, but you know what I mean. So the question I want to dig into is Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19. That is page 669 in a Serenitarian Bible. Okay. When Jesus came in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do they say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah and the prophets, one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and I will build my rock upon this church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I'm like looking at verse 15. I'm like, who do I say Jesus is? I'm like, huh, there's a lot of things you could say, but like no matter what I could say, we'll never amount to what Jesus is, which is your first fill in the blank. Nothing you can say will ever describe how majestic Jesus is. Humans are just incapable of giving God what he deserves. And I thought that saying Jesus is my best friend, Jesus is a father figure, Jesus saved my life for some dumb answers, because I was like, there's no way one line, one phrase, or anything could measure up to God. But when crazy ADHD Peter says, you're the Messiah, and then Jesus goes, attaboy, you get it. As a matter of fact, you're not Simon anymore, you're Peter, and upon this Petra I'll build my church. I'm like, what? What? I'm like, I was dumbfounded for like maybe an hour of why this was. I'm like, so I call my friend Matt from a Tuesday night Bible study I go to. I'm like, dude, I'm planning a sermon. This is what's going on. He's like, you're planning a sermon? I'm like, yeah, I know, dude, I'm planning a sermon, but here's what I'm telling you. This is what I think. Yada, I tell him what's going on. And I'm like, but why did that work for Jesus? And he stuck for a second, and then he came up with, maybe just God meet us where we are, which is your next fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit will intercede upon our behalf. And Romans 8, 26 through 27 and verse 34 talk about intercessory from the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And if Jesus can intercede upon our behalf emotionally and spiritually, why not intellectually? Why can't he meet us there intellectually? The minds of a mortal man are just not sufficient for the great I am, because God is so indescribable that he has to reveal himself to us, and he meets us where we are. From his warm and humble goodness, that he just meets us where we are, thinking that we have to learn some sort of intelligence just to get where he's at. Instead, he just comes to us and he hears our hearts, not our words. So I've heard all kinds of things about who do you say Jesus is, like prophet, Mad Hatter, con artist. I've heard con artist. My mom thought growing up that he was just a historical figure, nothing different between Abraham Lincoln. And as Laurie Lanier pointed out in February, that C.S. Lewis said that he's one of three things: Lord, lunatic, or liar. And this all ties into my third step, or the third step. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Some of y'all here from me don't know what that is. We practice 12 steps here at this church, the 12 steps of recovery. And the third step is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I'm first thinking, like, understand God, what? There's no way my iPad can understand who Steve Jobs is. But literally it means, like, just find the God of your understanding. And this is where it's like, oh, Jesus is my best friend. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is a father figure to me. And I've also, I asked my friend Hope about when she did her third step, about all the different names for God for a certain situation or season, like Jehovah Jireh, provider, Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Jehovah Shalom, God of peace, Abba, Father, El Roy, the one who sees, my favorite one, Emmanuel, God with us. So as I've been saying all sorts of things to you, I hope you've been thinking about who you say Jesus is. But verse 15, he says, who do you say I am? Not think who I am. What we think, here's your next fill in the blank. What we think and what we're willing to say are often two different things. He didn't say, who do you think I am? He said, who do you say I am? Because what we think is private, and what we're willing to say in a public manner are often two different things. Like if we were to leave the house with an LED sign that projects every single thought in our head, we would stay home, right? Unless we've had some liquid courage, right? But what we think about God in our heads versus what we're willing to say in a public manner are often different, like what we say about Jesus here versus what we say out there. What do you say about Jesus in here versus out there? Like, what do you say about Jesus out in work or school or what? Do they change? Are they different between people and places? Because I don't think they should. And I'm a victim of that. So I have a friend who I've been getting to know, and she was telling me about some things that she's been going through. And I was sharing some things I've learned about within the program, but that didn't suffice for her. What I was hesitant to say was, you know, Jesus offers you something better for your resentments and bitterness, right? But I didn't say it. I didn't say it, which is their next fill in the blank. You will miss out on a blessing for not speaking out who we say Jesus is. I thought of many things that could be holding me back from speaking about Jesus. Four things in particular, but number one, fear. Big one. Fear of persecution. So what? Good. Good. Listen, also, if you find a way to speak about Jesus without upsetting somebody, triggering somebody, making them mad or sad, please let me know, because I would love to know how you figure out that not even Jesus could figure out. I mean, I'm sure if he had a way to do it, he would have done it. He has all the answers and is the truth. So why would he not? So another kind of fear is rejection of relationships. Well, does love require approval? The way the culture is today, well, what kind of culture was Paul living in? Number two, confusion. God, should I talk to them about you or not? He told you in the Bible to do it. Insecurity. That's me. I'm not like Paul. I'm not like Peter. I'm not like St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm not like Billy Graham. But look at the disciples who Jesus picked to follow. Look at the woman at the well. Look at you. God brought you out of darkness, right? Sorry, y'all. I didn't want to do this part. resentments. If you don't talk about Jesus because of your resentments, you might as well just say this. God, I know you're perfect. I know you're perfectly just. I know you're perfectly merciful. But not right now. Not right now, you're not. They need to suffer first. They need to apologize first before they get some of your love. They don't deserve your love. Look at you. Did you deserve God's love? I didn't. Even C.S. Lewis spoke about that. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Amen. This also it reminds me of a book that I was reading one time called, I think it was Out of the Devil's Cauldron or Unmasking the Devil. Those are some serious books that I wouldn't recommend to everybody. But he made up a story where these two friends were driving to a baseball game. There's a believer and a non-believer, and the believer's driving, and he's like scared to put his Christian music on. They get into a car wreck, and the non-believer dies. And out of this place of separation from God, he writes him a letter and says, if you knew all about God, why would you not tell me? Why would you not tell me about? Obviously, there is a difference between planting seeds and overstepping boundaries. And I understand if you're not the type of person to talk to somebody in a grocery store elevator. I'm not that person. But if you talk to me, or if you sit next to me for a whole semester, yeah, you're gonna hear about my experience, strength, and hope. What about the people that God has clearly placed in your life? Are you holding out from them? And that all reminds me of the 12th step. And I read a little bit about what the 12th step, or the chapter of the 12th step is in the big book. I didn't write down the page number of what I found it on. I think it was on page 93. It reads, "He may be an example of the truth, that faith alone is insignificant. To be vital, faith must be accompanied by self-sacrifice, unselfish, constructive action. Let him see that you were not there to instruct him in religion. Admit that he probably knows more than you, but call this attention the fact that however deep his faith and knowledge is, he could not apply to it, or he would not to drink. He would not drink." Man, that's a mouthful. In other words, faith without works is dead. And it also does not matter if they probably know more than you. It does not matter if you have insecurities. You had an encounter with God, you got to share it. And then this is a more important part. This is your next fill in the blank. How you love one another speaks louder than your words. James 1:22 through 24, that is page 825 in the Serenitarian Bible. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and does not look at him." I'm just going to skip that. Hold on. This is better. James, or not. 1 John 3:17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need and has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not with love with our words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is then how we know we belong to the truth and how we have set our hearts at rest in his presence. So actions speak louder than words, right? How you love one another speaks louder than what you say. You can say Jesus, 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 this all you want, but if you live another way, do you love those who are unlovable? They will know that you belong to Jesus by the way you love. How are you being an act of service? This is all a 12 step though. How are you serving in order to keep your miracle? And then one more question is like, you're the type to write God first on your Instagram or Twitter profile, but live like a child of the enemy? Man, I moved that quick. We're already at the last part. So who do you say Jesus is when you're going through it? Does he change, like in different places or people? Does he change depending on the season you're at? One of my favorite Old Testament stories is Joseph. A man who was a victim, but did not play the victim card. And throughout the entire time you hear, you read, the Lord was with him. Emmanuel, God meets us where we are. There's been plenty of times in my life where I don't know if I'm gonna get out of bed, laugh, go back to sleep, or cry. And then ask God, do you not care? That was rooted in fear. The feelings that are just stuck in a washing machine, just all jumbled up and going chaotic. And then further asking, has not what I've done for you mattered? Do I even matter? And it reminds me what Jesus said, or he didn't say anything. Rather, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He understands where we are and he understands what we feel. Even Jesus wept. At John 11, 27 down, you read some great faith between Mary and Martha before Lazarus woke up, before the miracle, before the promise. Something beautiful. Something beautiful, the strength to get up and keep moving forward regardless with your mind made up in the mountaintop or in the valley, no matter the circumstance. Personally, sometimes I prefer the faith before the miracle, before the healing, before the promise, because it's just more beautiful. It doesn't feel great, but, and I'm not saying you should stay stuck in sin. You know, you should not care about healing, but that faith beforehand is just intense, desperate, where it's just you and Jesus because it's all you have left. And this is, I guess, your last fill in the blank. God can do anything but fail. That was not my words, by the way. That was from a song that my mom put me on. I didn't know how to wrap this up, so I'm just going to say, if you don't know who you say Jesus is, or you don't even know who Jesus is, but you're curious, it ain't that complicated. You could just say a prayer right there in your seat. As my prayer was, just God help me. Something simple. Right there where you're sitting, because God meets you where you're at. Right. The Holy Spirit will intercede upon your behalf. You don't have to achieve some higher intelligence to communicate with him. It's right there whenever you want it. Guess that was quick.